I am so sorry for all these episodes. You know, my plane leaves tomorrow. And I got some stuff to talk about, you know. No trivia this week. Or this episode. It's a special. We're gonna call it a special. The special is my last episode. Wait for it. My last episode with an agenda-driven show. This is my last episode doing a show that is primarily put out there for political purposes. Because it's just like so in your face. And it's just like, after doing the Handmaid's episode a few days ago, I was like, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep getting myself caught in these like traps. You know, I watch shows for what they are, what they're put in front of me. And if you're trying to like tell me how to think or what to think or to think a little better, hey, you better think about this. This is right down here. That's not something I want to put myself through. And I guess, you know, the show we're doing, the show we're featuring today is so driven, to give people an idea of where they think we are and where we're going and blah, 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 blah. But it's an amazing show. Like, it really, really is. It's an amazing show. But from here on out, I'm just gonna have to do goofy stuff, 'cause I just can't. I don't know. I just can't deal with it anymore. And I know, you know, 2019 has been a politically driven year. And you know, that's great, you know, if you want make your whole life about that. But I don't. I truly, truly don't. And one of the reasons, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise before. But that's what I'm doing. That's the only thing we do. It's the only vacation we take. We don't have money, so don't. I think there's this kind of like predisposed notion that cruises are expensive, and they're not. Okay, let me just get that out there. They're really truly not. But it's the only trip we take every year. Once a year. One time we did twice, two cruises. But that was a good year, okay? Let's just say that was a good year. this year just what? And when you go on a cruise, you are completely separated from the world, you know? And it's so, that's probably the best part about it. You know, you go to on vacation somewhere, let's say you go to Florida, and you still have the experiences of if you were still in South Arcadia. It's just a different climate. But when you go on a cruise, there's no TV, there's no radio, really, there's no nothing. You're completely detached. And it's so refreshing. I think that if you take a vacation, that should be the kind of vacation you take, something that completely separates you from what people are trying to make your life. Yes, I go to work Monday through Friday, and then I have a second job that I work Saturday and Sunday. And then as a parent, I mean, that's my full-time job. And podcasting is what I do when things are slow at work, you know? And, you know, and then I also do the Kickstarter thing every few months. So I keep myself busy. And when I take a vacation, I expect it to be very, you know, very free of everything. You don't get cell service on the ship. You don't get emails on the ship. You can. We do not pay for the Wi-Fi packages. And that's what everybody should do. In the show Years and Years, which, quote, forces us into the future, oof, jeez, will be my last show that is pretty much in your face when it comes to... They definitely have their agenda goggles on. And I do not associate myself with any political group, nor do I agree with either side. I have my own opinions, and they're mine and mine alone. But this show really, really wants you to... really want you to see it their way. And that's fine. I don't care, because it's an amazing show. It's extremely well done. It was created by Russell T. Davies. And that right there, that's all I cared about. Russell T. Davies. So before I go on this, you know, vacation, before I go on this cruise and separate myself from society in every single way I can. We do have I think it's a whiskey tasting that I signed up for. I think it was $35 a person. But, trust, totally, totally worth it. Now, Russell T. Davies, you know, he's one of the lead British television writers of the century. And specializes in emotional dramas. Frequently he deals with you know, adult themes, with sexuality and politics, and that's fine. You know, his level of writing is so above everybody else. And the complexity and the way that his story arcs come in together, I could care less. I could care less if he wants to throw in a few things. Because I'm not watching it for that. I'm watching it for something completely different, which is entertainment. Which is, you know, that should be why you watch television, I would think. But not always, apparently. Russell T. Davies, for those of you who are not Anglophiles, is part of the Doctor Who reboot. He did a lot of... He did the reboot for Queer as Folk. He has done the Sarah Jane Chronicles. For me, most notably, Torchwood. Wizards vs. Aliens, which only lasted a season. And then Years and Years for HBO. Now, if you have not seen Years and Years... that puts you in the majority. I don't know why, but this show wasn't really promoted very heavily. It came out in 2019, and HBO, I mean, the only thing HBO was talking about in 2019 was, you know, promoting new shows coming out and saying goodbye to shows that they've put so much into. So pretty much when people think of HBO, they think of Game of Thrones, and they think of Westworld nowadays. And I felt like they were promoting Big Little Lies and Euphoria so much that a truly amazing show was lost. I mean, it's Russell T. Davies. Like, this should have been what you ran with. And to see Jessica Hines in the show was amazing, because if you listen to our Spaced episode that I did, you know I'm a huge fan. So, and you know, the cast was epic. It was completely epic. Anybody who watches British television or films produced in that country, you know half of these people. So now let's get into the premise of the show. Okay? The show opens up shortly before Donald Trump is re-elected. By the end of the first episode, Donald Trump goes ahead and lets a nuclear bomb go off in China. He blows up China. Everybody thought the world was going to end, but it doesn't. And at the same time, trauma just keeps going and going and going. In the course of 6 episodes, years and years keep sleeping forward, forcing us into the future. The economy crumbles, the ice caps melt, authoritarianism rises, and teenagers implant phones in their hands. So it's definitely an alarmist series. And that's what the goal of it was, to set off the alarm bells. Basically, the first episode was, if you re-elect Trump, he's going to bomb China. So don't. So it follows one family. It follows one family through everything that happens over the course of time, years and years. I think that the show brings up other good points, such as the rise in a gig economy. People lose their jobs in the family. One is forced to become a delivery driver. By delivery driver, in this point, it's someone who, you know, takes a package from somebody and takes it to... And, you know, it's we're in a gig economy now. So it was interesting to see how that's like, everybody has a side gig in the future. As someone who has a side gig in the present, I found it interesting, right? I did. So Emma Thompson is in the show, which is great. Great, great, great. And her character plays... I don't know how to explain it. Kind of a fascist with a good marketing campaign. Which I'm, you know, that's how they are. And episode 2 brings us to 2025. Which takes us into a world where we have nuclear fallout and Heng Xiaodao, and that's when the banking crisis comes into effect. Episode 3 just jumps a year later to 2026, where the banking crisis led to a recession. Episode 4 takes us to 2027, when voting in the UK becomes universally mandatory. The coalition of governments collapse, and that's when Viv Rook, who we talked about earlier, becomes the Prime Minister. Episode 5, 2028. We still have Viv Rook in power. There's like these concentration camps that are built. It is wild. Wild, wild stuff. In episode 6, the final episode takes place in 2029. The characters age mildly through each episode. The children characters age rapidly, which is accurate. As far as Rotten Tomatoes, the series holds an approval rating of 89% and 90% on the audience reviews. On Metacritic, the series has a weighted average score of 77 out of 100. Generally favorable. Now, as far as those reviews go, let's read a rotten one. From Vox. Quote, "Years and Years is certainly an amazing idea for a show, but the show's over-reliance on sentimentality and the thinness of some of the characters are distant weaknesses of Davies' approach." So, sentiment is a weakness. Thanks, Vox. Positive review from The Australian. Quote, "Yes, this is a bleak drama, so cleverly juxtaposing social realism, a kind of sci-fi dystopianism, and caustically satirical look at populist politics, but it's surprisingly funny in places." It looks like, you know what, The Australian, I'm going to follow this person. To see this show in almost a satirical way makes me truly appreciate this reviewer. Oh, great. Okay. So, I'm following this person. What is their name? Ooh, I don't know how to pronounce that name. I'm not very Australian, unfortunately. I'm so sorry. But his reviews are spot on just by the ones I'm reading. He gave El Camino a rotten review. Let's see what he says. Quote, this is of El Camino. Totally off topic. But this is a special. It's a special. Quote, "In the end, though, we are left with little more than a movie that follows a renegade hero trying to flee from the authorities chasing him down while the narrative flashes back to the memories he can't outpace. I thought El Camino was a complete waste of time." It has a 91% certified fresh rating. And it's a garbage movie. And I love Breaking Bad. You basically took the ending of Breaking Bad, the last 5 minutes of Breaking Bad, and made it 2 hours long. Hiding for 2 hours. Ugh, jeez. Complete waste of time. Complete and utter waste of time. Graham, that's how you pronounce it, is an English language surname. It is a habitual name derived from Grantham in Lincolnshire. But it's not a surname. This is a person's first name. It's a boy's name, apparently. It means gravel area. Okay. That's what you name your kid after. Do you look up the names of what the kids, you know, like what the name's supposed to mean? My name means Little King. Which, did that change who I became in life, or that's what my name means. So Vox magazine gave it a rotten review. Let's go to QuickFlix quote. We're back to years and years, I'm sorry. Off topic. Quote, whenever Thompson appears, she makes the show feel most alive. Suddenly you realize why people become infatuated with these despots in waiting. They make for the most entertaining telly. Frame rated, quote, one could be easily fooled into thinking this is a kitchen sink British drama about a regular family. If you looked at the poster, you would think that. But the ending, which involves a national lockdown, is so realistic and credible, it's hard not to find it disturbing. The Ringer, quote, years and years combines the grand sweep of a near future dystopia with the warm intimacy of a family drama. Oh, this is a new one. AARP, quote. It's a short one. Quote, a fascinating fantasy by Russell T. Davies. Okay. You know what's funny? You know, I mentioned in the Handmaid's Tale podcast that I don't read the reviews prior to pressing record. And I went into this show seemingly thinking this, you know, this is my last politically driven kind of show to do. To do an episode on a show that is very heavy in politics. Because I didn't think Handmaid's Tale was, but when I got in there, started reading the reviews, people were freaking me out. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do one of my favorite shows. Probably one of my favorite shows of all time. I would definitely put it in the top 25. Maybe a smaller list, honestly. Years and Years is that good. But, you know, I was like, you know, this show's super political, so I'll make this a special. I'll do my last episode. Doing a show like this, we're just going to stick with lighthearted, kind of goofy stuff. Maybe horror, too. You know, I don't mind horror shows. But just keep it light, because I don't want to get trapped into these, like, reading these reviews where I'm just, like, shocked at, like, what people think. Professionals. What professionals think. Seemingly professionals. And I thought this show was going to be like that, but so far, I mean, these reviews are, everybody knows it's a show and not a docu-series. Let's see, New Statesman, quote, it is half sci-fi dystopia, half kitchen sink drama, and does both with equal verve. It hums with urgent and unsettling realism and staggering human cost. I agree. The show's brilliant, just as all Russell T. Davies-related projects are. Here's a rotten review from the AV Club. Quote, Years and Years never makes these people anything more than the sum of the problems and anxieties currently playing out on the other side of the screen. I don't really know what that means, so I'm not even gonna worry about it. Guardian, quote, this pacing is the first thing that contributes toward the tension. There are few, if any, scenes in which an awful event or its consequences are not being felt. You don't get much time to relax. I disagree. I actually think it juggles light and heavy better than most shows. Ooh, NPR. Quote, you will almost certainly find the show chilling and identify with the Lyons family's struggles to understand and survive forces they can't begin to control. Okay. Hollywood Reporter, quote, looking through the opposite end of the telescope at present and controversial history is often a recipe for disaster, but Years and Years is magnificently agile in the creativity it uses to make it all cohere. Variety, quote, among the most emotionally involving and best series to air so far this year. Completely agree. It's amazing. Los Angeles Times, quote, "It is something of a long, raw scream in the face of current events." And here we go. Leave it to Los Angeles Times. Even as it offers smart, superior entertainment. A marshmallow toasted over a burning world.
What?
Oh, good. RogerEbert.com. Quote, "For a show to echo both Black Mirror and This Is Us is not something I thought I'd ever see. But Years and Years is one of those daring, high-concept shows that actually works." That is the review I'm going to end on. This show is smart. It's well-paced. To watch an hour-long show, and then you wait a week, and then you watch another hour-long episode, and it takes place maybe a week, maybe seconds after the last episode. That's how television is done. For instance, you know, we talked about CW. CW likes to have their shows paced where it's a week later, because you waited a week, so their shows take place a week later. Sometimes they do fast forwards during holiday times or everything else, just to give the characters time to develop as opposed to you. But in essence, it's a week later. That's how these shows are done. Netflix, seconds later. Okay, that's the pacing they like to do. Seconds, just a second later. Because you only have to wait 5 seconds to watch the next episode. I think that Fox also likes to do seconds later. I think FX likes to do a week later. I think that Disney Plus, which we know and love, right? The newer shows, basically just talking about The Mandalorian, takes place right after, right? Now, this show, HBO even likes to do, you know, directly after. This episode takes place directly after the previous. Even in minutes, seconds, whatever. This show, besides episode 1, which takes place in 2019, to episode 2, which takes place in 2025, it's a year later in between each episode. How compelling is that? I have friends that I see once or twice a year. I have family, extended family, that I do see once a year. And sometimes they change, sometimes they don't. The kids are, you know, always a foot taller. The adults, maybe minor wrinkles or fashion changes. So for a show to do that is brilliant. And I'm not even going to get into the advances in technology that this show promotes. I mean, it does, you know. I'll leave that to you, because I'm pretty sure you haven't seen this show. So sign up for HBO Go, get a free week trial, and have a good 3-hour sit down twice and watch 6 episodes of a show called Years and Years. I would definitely do what I said and do 3 episodes, then 3 episodes the next time. This is a 2-day show. It's a 1-day show if you got a lot of time on your hands. I don't. So I had to do it in multiples of 2. Now, if you have no interest in this show, watch it anyway. Watch a trailer on the YouTubes or whatever. You can read the reviews. I wouldn't. I would just jump right in, because this is an amazing show that nobody watched. Everybody was watching, in 2019, everybody was watching Game of Thrones, or everybody was watching Westworld, or everybody's watching the Deadwood movie, or waiting for Euphoria, or waiting for Watchmen, which that was another show that has spawned this entire ending of shows like this. Because I was just disappointed in that show. Disappointed. But not this show. It's amazing. And if you haven't given it a chance, or if you haven't even heard of it, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to tell you about it. I'm here to recommend it. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. Sorry there's no trivia. But my plane leaves in 20 hours. So I didn't have time. And also it's a Saturday. So, you know, I got a lot to do still to get ready for my trip. And when and if I come back, it'll only be fun, lighthearted talk, full of shows that are actually built to entertain you. Now, some shows are built to entertain you, and the people that are out there reviewing them try to put their own spin on things. I'm not going to read those. If anything, I'm going to stick with this Australian fella, who's named after gravel, because he tends to know the difference between fiction and nonfiction. And this show is nonfiction, but it feels very, very real. Years and Years is at the top of my list. The top of my list for 2019. And if you have not, again, if you have not seen it, watch it. And make sure to use the Anchor app, okay? Find the show on Anchor. Because you can leave me a voicemail, and then I can play it on the air. It'll be super cool when I come back from my vacation and have all these voicemails about how you're mad at me or whatever else. Whatever else it is. Or actually, just tell me what shows to do. Because I've watched darn near everything. So I would like to... And don't pick a show that you know will put me in a trap. Because I can't do it anymore. I'm going on a detox of society and politics for 1 week, and I'm going to try to keep that going when I get back. That's my goal, okay? This is it, all right? This is it. We're going to stick with something nice and light, nice and new, maybe Batwoman, even though they're not all out. What else? I already did one on... Everything I'm thinking of, I've already done an episode on. So yes, please use the Anchor app. Send me a voicemail. You just click it and you talk on your phone and then you unclick it. And it'll be loads of fun. Loads of fun. All right. Well, I'm going to get my bags packed. I think my wife has most of the stuff packed. But there's always things, you know, like she packs for herself. Anyway, so I'm going to get all this stuff packed up. And I had to get some more things ready for while we're gone. But besides that, I think we're good to go.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.